Good evening, everyone. The reading this evening is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, and beginning at verse 23. Ezekiel 22, verse 23, and that's page 851 of the Church Bibles. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has had no rain or showers in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and ill-treat the alien, denying them justice. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. It's lovely to be here with you this evening. If you don't know me, my name's Michelle, and as Dan said, it's my privilege to lead the Riverbank team here at Holy Trinity. This is a place that I've been part of for nearly 16 years now, and I can genuinely say it's a place where I've grown spiritually, I've made some of my best friends, and I've learned how to best serve our local community. So Riverbank Trust is a ministry of this church which supports vulnerable families, and we're soon to be 10 years old. Dan's got a party popper, but okay, woo! So yeah, we're about to have our 10-year party. Never mind. So today I'm going to share a bit more of the Riverbank story and some of our plans for the future and where I think God might be leading us. So mind the gap. If you've been up to London or a commuter, it's a phrase that you'll be used to hearing. It communicates safety, expectation, precaution, and a sense of busyness as people go about their daily routines. However, if we do mind the gap, we hope to be kept safe, but it also requires a personal response as we carefully manage our own steps and our own ability to mind the gap. At some point, many of us would no doubt have experienced moments when it felt that there were big gaps or perhaps great chasms in our lives. We might have experienced gaps financially, gaps in our personal relationships. We may have struggled or be struggling with our own health or our mental well-being. There may be gaps in our parenting or lack of food for the table. Well, for many of our dear Riverbank families that we work with, the gaps are vast, wide, and overwhelming. In the passage that we've just read in Ezekiel, the people of Jerusalem have turned their back on God and continued to worship idols. They've failed to keep the Sabbath, and they've no longer trusted God. The sins of Jerusalem are clearly pointed out, and God is looking for someone, as it says in verse 30, to stand in the gap on his behalf and speak words of truth. But sadly, as it says, he finds no one. Ezekiel has predicted the fall of Jerusalem, but as a prophet also prophesied a strong note of hope for the future and one that will bring restoration. In one commentary, they describe the key theme and characteristic of Ezekiel as being that of an individual responsibility before God. The question before us then is who should stand in the gap And are we prepared for God to again look around and say that he found no one? If we know and love the Lord, then the challenge is for us to stand up and be counted and to stand in that gap. Why? Well, as we read in Ezekiel, it's a matter of obedience as much as anything else. Ezekiel was a dedicated and passionate man, and his prophecies often ended with the words, "That they may know that I am God." If we know the truth that comes from God and can be bringers of hope, then it's for us to also point people to the truth of knowing who God is. A few years ago, Home for Good ran a campaign asking people to consider who could be at your table. And it was an image that struck with me personally, not just because of our own children, but because of many other vulnerable children and families that need the love, support, and their most basic of needs met, including food. The empty table challenges our idea of radical hospitality. And I share this with you today as I feel strongly that now is the time for the church not just to mind the gap, but rather stand in the gap. We know from our Riverbank experience that statutory services are stretched. They have little resources and less money than ever. But as a church, we are wealthy beyond our own imagination. We can serve good tea and coffee and homemade cakes, but more importantly, we can share the love and hope that comes from God himself. We often refer to Riverbank as being a family first and a charity second. Being the hands and feet of Jesus for us also means being the arms of Jesus and the mouthpiece of Jesus. We walk alongside our families and help them practically. We also love them, speak words of encouragement over them, pray for them and hug them. If we do not choose to stand in the gap for our families, then not only are we compromising the truth that we read about in the Bible and the wrath of God, which was exemplified through the sins of Jerusalem, but we again watch our families fall through the gaps, which so often result in more pain, more hurt, and more frustration. At present, we're currently working with approximately 70 families, and at Christmas made up bags with presents for 120 children, and we had our biggest ever turnout with about 135 guests. This year we've been asking for Easter egg donations for all our parents and children, and we're going to need about 250 in total. So if you've already given an Easter egg, that's great, thank you. We've got a few out there, we've got a few other churches giving. I think we've got about 150 in total, but we're going to have a big Easter event, and we would love all our families, all our children, all our mums to just be blessed with an Easter egg. Because actually, if you're on your own, one thing we found is there isn't anyone to buy them an egg, there isn't anyone to give them a birthday present, there isn't anyone to say well done or how are you. If you're on your own with a kid, there isn't anyone to do that for you. So it's just a simple thing that we can do in just blessing our families. And with regards to local churches, we're currently partnering with Holy Trinity Barnes, St Richard's in Ham, St Stephen's in Twickenham, Hampton Wick Baptist, Witten Baptist, Church of the Living God. And only last week I spoke at Twickenham Green Baptist because they'd heard about the work of Riverbank and they wanted to know more. This year we have launched our first Riverbank hub in Ham, and we're looking at another possible hub partnership locally. We have established a new Riverbank at Home weekly drop-in group, which meets for breakfast, and we're in the middle of running our 8th Kids Matter parenting group and the first pilot parenting group of Babies Matter. Kids Matter and Babies Matter have been super, super successful. They're parenting groups really rooted in Christian faith. They've come through the HTB Single Parent Network, and we deliver them on behalf of Kids Matter. And our mums come and they love it, and it is going national now, and it's really great to have been there from the start, have been something that's been birthed through Riverbank and through Kids Matter. And Babies Matter is something that we're piloting. We've been one of the first groups to do it here, and we're coming to the end of our first group, and they're almost using us as sort of as an example to have a go, and then it's going to be released nationally. So again, it's really great to be part of something so early on. Our Syrian community sponsorship family have settled amazingly well. The children and parents are doing brilliantly at school and at college. and many people have been asking after them. So now that they're well settled, we hope to plan a tea party in the near future so that you can meet them and they can meet you. And in fact, I was with them this afternoon because their youngest has just turned two. So we had a birthday party. And it's amazing because they don't do birthday parties because they've been in a UN camp for the last 7 years in a tent. So the most amazing thing for them when they arrived in the country was running water. The children just turned the taps on, turned it off, because they don't have running water. And it's been really interesting watching them because we've celebrated all the girls' birthdays now. They've got three children. And they don't know what to do. They don't know how to open a present. They don't know how to open a car because they've never had one. So they just kind of gather them and walk around with them. And we showed them that you open a present and you enjoy it. You open a card and you put it up and you just enjoy that moment. But things that we take for granted that we've learned off them that we have no idea. So it's been amazing. But yeah, they really want to meet you, and I know many of you want to meet them. But when we talk about the work of Riverbank and meeting people, it's always good to do this in person. So I've got a couple of people that are just going to come up and share their experience of Riverbank. So Mark and Judy have been really brave. They're going to come and join us. So we've got three questions. I'm going to ask the same questions to both of you. So, Mark, how did you first come into contact with Riverbank?
It was quite a while ago now. You mentioned Riverbank's been around for almost 10 years. I was involved at the beginning. So when the charity was birthed from this church, and Ellie, the founder, was pulling together a group of trustees, and I was approached. They were looking for, I think, a few more people with some financial experience, which is sort of my day job. So I didn't really know. I had some idea of the vision of the charity, but in terms of what it actually looked like going forwards, it wasn't completely clear to me, but I thought I'd go for it. I'd just joined the church relatively recently. It was a good way to get involved in something the church was supporting.
Thank you. And Judy, same question to you. How did you kind of first come across Riverbank?
I've been coming to this church... How long now, Susan? Long time. I live with the Armstrongs, so I've sort of co-opted through them. So I was at the beginning as well. I knew from Ali and when it was birthed. So that's how I've known, and I get updates every year on these days.
Thank you. So, Mark, what's your current involvement with Riverbank? You did mention it just now, but just tell us a little bit more about what you do.
So, I'm still a trustee. Yeah, absolutely. So, very privileged to do that. There's a few of us that were there at the beginning, and so, you know, seeing what's happened over the last almost 10 years has been amazing. As a trustee, there are obviously certain sort of legal responsibilities about a charity and, you know, making sure the administration is appropriate, etc. We have quarterly meetings as trustees just to understand what's going on, how are we looking in terms of financial resources, any kind of new initiatives that the trust is considering. But it's been amazing, and seeing the growth over time. And I think back to, you know, we had one employee at the beginning, and you have many more now, and the number of families that are being sort of touched by the services has obviously grown and grown, the number of schools we work with. So we're really in the background as trustees. We're kind of listening most of the time, but it's just been incredible to sort of see the growth over that period.
Thank you. And Judy, as a volunteer, can you just share a little bit about what you've been doing recently?
I've been helping out in the creche for the Baby Matters and the Children Matter course. So I've been coming in and just sort of helping them. The kids, it's been quite lovely actually watching them, and they get to know who you are, and like last week they're coming up and wanting to be held, and it's very nice to have a kid come running to you with their arms open.
Thank you. And then finally, Mark, so what kind of impact has Riverbank had on you over these years?
I mean lots of different impacts, really. Obviously when you know, we talk about some of the families at the trustees meeting anonymously, but just hearing some of the stories, and, you know, you realise how tough life can be for some of these families. Really, really tough, incredibly painful, you know, very serious, and, it, you know, and there's a sort of real sense of kind of injustice around it as well. And so obviously that has an impact on you. But when you hear some of the stories of, you know, the hope that Riverbank can bring and the transformation. It's incredibly inspiring, actually, really, really uplifting. And, you know, there have been times when it's, you know, for various reasons, you know, particularly financial reasons, it's been tough times for the trust itself. And there is this sort of sense that somehow God has stepped in and it's then gone again and grown again into a new phase. And so really, I think the impact for me is just seeing what's happened with some of those families and just being inspired by it and amazed by it, really.
Thank you. And Judy, same to you. How have you been impacted by the work of Riverbank?
It's a blessing to see, sort of like a jigsaw puzzle, how the pieces have come together for people, and being able to be able to help where you can. As a volunteer, you just come in and you meet help with that need, and you can see how everything falls together, and you know, God's in it.
Thank you. Thank you. This morning we actually had one of our mums come along. Often in the past we've shown a video, but this time I invited a mum along, not a church mum at all. We met her at the hostel many years ago, and she came this morning and just shared a little bit. And actually it was really quite powerful. Within the first sentence she just broke down. And it was very emotional, and it really touched the congregation. And her kind of opening gambit really was, "You're like family to me." When I came to the hostel, it was just me and my baby, and I knew no one. And the first person she met was Anka, because Anka goes to the up to the hostel every week and meets with the children and meets with the babies and meets with the mums. And she just shared how powerful that had been for her, and that this is her home, and for her little boy, this is her home. And when I was at Witten Baptist, just before Christmas, we showed Naomi's video from last year. If you were here, you'll remember. Again, it's another mum that we met at the hostel 10 years ago, and we've seen her journey, and she's come to faith. And it's been an incredible walk that we've had with her. But when I was at Witten, this lady at the end of the service just came running up to me, Michelle, I know Naomi, I know her. She was my neighbour. I prayed for her. I had her in for dinner. She said, and I had no idea that she'd come to faith. I had no idea that she's a Christian. I had no idea that she'd met Riverbank. And it was just, it blew me away, because there was no reason for me to be at Witten Baptist that day. It was a new church, a new congregation, new people. And I just showed this clip, this video of this lady, and it happened to be this other lady's next door neighbour. And I just thought, what a powerful testament and witness to the work that we do. And actually, we sung earlier in the Waymaker about, even when we can't see you, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. And I just thought, we have no idea the work that is going on behind the scenes, where God's hand is being placed on these mums. And that day for me was just a real testament of just a next door neighbour that was just loved and fed and cared for and prayed for. And this lady was beside herself that Naomi had come to faith. And it was just, again, an incredible part of our journey. So this year, Riverbank hoped to launch a new project called Make Lunch. And this is a national outreach program run by Transforming Lives for Good. And as it says on the slide here, Transforming Lives for Good, Make Lunch, enables and equips churches to bring hope to struggling children through holiday lunch clubs. Each club provides free, hot and healthy meals to children and families who would otherwise go hungry. Through TLG Make Lunch, your church can provide vital support to some of the most vulnerable children in your community, and in addition, build relationships with families in desperate need of the loving support of your compassionate church family. Christine Pohl, from her book Making Room, states that a shared meal is the activity most closely tied to the reality of God's kingdom, just as it is the most basic expression of hospitality. Being the hands and feet of Jesus for us often means getting them a little bit dusty, a little bit dirty, and a little bit worn. And our Riverbank values include equipping others, building community, and being relational. And what better way to do this than round a dinner table? As we look forward to the next 10 years, I feel that this is an area in which God is calling us to. We already have great relationships with our local schools, and many of the children that we work with are moving into secondary school, and we would love the opportunity to stay in relationship with them further. I had one little boy at school last week that I was working with, because we've got four outreach workers and we're currently working in three schools, one to one. And the little boy's in year six. And he said, but what happens next, Michelle? Will I see you? I'm going to secondary school. Who will I talk to? Who do I share my worries with? What will happen? And I said, well, we're still here. We're not going anywhere. I can come in and I'll pop up and see you, but it will be different because we don't have that relationship through secondary school, mostly because we just don't have the capacity. But we also know that with this project that our families are hungry and they love coming into community over food. And we also hope that we can better equip this church and others that we partner with to stand in the gap in a very practical way. Make Lunch is a holiday project, so the consideration is for it to happen during the school holidays, hopefully once a week. And it would mean having a few people willing to cook for large groups of people and having volunteers on hand to serve, chat and welcome families. And for those volunteers who already support the work of Riverbank, I want to use this time to say a big heartfelt thank you. Without you, we really would not be able to do much of what we do. And it's also a good time for me personally to say thank you to Holy Trinity here, our church family, who love and support the work of Riverbank in such a gracious way. And we also have our staff team and trustees who generously give so much of themselves day in and day out. And I'm so truly grateful for all of you, and I know that you are a blessing to many. As I mentioned earlier, Riverbank will be 10 years old in September. And we would love even more of you to come alongside us and our families. And there are a few different ways you can do this. Please do pray for us. We have so many things to celebrate where God has been good to us and our work over the past year. Only recently we raised up our first mum volunteer to work alongside Anchor at the hostel. As an ex-hostel mum herself, she knows firsthand what it's like to be homeless with a small child. And seeing this mum journey with us and her enthusiasm in going back each week to meet the other mums has been so uplifting and a real testament to the work of Riverbank and God's hand on her life. We've also seen our work grow through the word of mouth. Little Splashes is now so busy on a Monday that we've had to temporarily limit our numbers. We also have a fairly small team of volunteers on a Monday, and with our numbers growing, we really do need more help and support. If this is something you could help with, do please speak to one of us. We also had a number of conversations with the local authority recently as to why families choose to engage with us and not them. And in a few weeks' time, myself and Sheena, who also works with Riverbank, will be part of a round-the-table discussion with Richmond's community engagement officers to see how we can better work together to truly serve the families that we love. Laura, who's one of our team, has been leading a weekly Lent reflection for five of our mums. And this has been an incredible time of joy for us as we see some of them deepen and develop their faith. We know that the Spirit is moving in these areas and more, and that we are being led to new places. Please also pray for the families themselves. Our heart is for more of them to come and know Jesus. But the reality for many of them is that they are facing daily battles and they regularly reach crisis points. Please pray too for the staff and volunteers as we negotiate all of this, much of which is uncharted territory. Please also let us know if you can give practically in any way. If you work for a company that can donate items, come and talk to one of us. For example, we had one company donate designer baby clothes, which were last season's, and they were absolutely gorgeous. We had boxes of biscuits donated for all our families at Christmas, and one company even donated beautiful candles that we were able to gift to all our mums. And we even had one company volunteer themselves, and last year they came here to wrap all the Christmas presents for our families. We also value our volunteers and we need more helpers for our groups. So that might include volunteering in the creche for our parenting groups, like Judy said, and helping out at our big events. And we also value home-baked cakes on a regular basis. Outside, I've got a sign-up sheet. So if you're interested in any of the part of Riverbank, or if you feel you can give in any way, or you know someone that can give something in some way, do please leave your details for me and then I can be in touch this week. Please also consider giving financially to our work. We do not charge for anything that we do, and we do not generate an income at all. We solely rely on fundraising, grants, and personal giving. This year we're launching a new campaign to come alongside our 10-year anniversary, and we're asking people to consider making a commitment to give in £2 a week for 2 years, £5 a week for 5 years, or £10 a week for 10 years. Please do take a leaflet, and please do give a leaflet. If you can donate and encourage one other person to do the same, you will be part of helping us to instantly double our number of donors. But we don't do any of this in our strength, however. And as far and as wide as we stretch, we will never fully bridge the gaps which stand before us, because Jesus has already done that. He did that as soon as he stretched out his arms and was crucified. The gaps for our families are real and they are broadening. But let us no longer mind the gap, but rather point to the true God who can stand in the gap for them. Let us not be like the people of Jerusalem that brought about destruction and violation by not listening to the truth. But let us point to the hope that is in Jesus, the one who will not let down or disappoint, but rather stand firm in the gaps of life.